Welcome to the Construction Influencer Podcast, where we talk about construction, business, and leadership. I'm your host, Nicole Miller. We all know, most of us know, who GAFCON is. And I've actually had another guest from GAFCON on this podcast before. But today, I have GAF himself, Mr. Gaffin, the CEO and president of GAFCON. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Nicole. I hate being called Mr. Gaffin. Call me Gaff or Yehudi. My real name's Yehudi, but a nickname Gaff has stuck for many, many years.
Where did it come from?
I think it comes from my last name, Gaffin. And when I was in high school, my friends started calling me Gaffs. And then when I came to the United States, they shortened it to Gaff. So that's where it all came from. Yehudi being an Israeli name is hard for some people to pronounce, so I don't mind either one.
My apologies.
That's okay. No need to apologize.
Well, let's get right into it. Take me back to the very beginning of GAFCON, not so much of how it got started, but maybe talk a little bit about some of the challenges that you faced before you became an entrepreneur. What was holding you back before you made that step?
The fear of the unknown, right? I was born in South Africa, worked there for a few years after graduating college, and decided South Africa was not a place to raise a family, so left looking for another job, which I was blessed and fortunate to find in San Diego, and arrived here in 79, worked for a construction company, development company, for about 7-8 years, and I always knew I wanted to try going out on my own, but it was a very scary thing. Mm-hmm. We had a young family. We had just had our second child who was very young. I didn't have any savings. So it was just the fear of the unknown and just, were we going to succeed or not? So I think that was the biggest thing.
I think that's very common. And the next question would be, how do you overcome that?
I guess for me, I often think about this. I just really didn't enjoy working at the company I was at. Their culture was not anything I could relate to. So those frustrations just got to the boiling point where I just said, hey, I'm going to try it. The only thing that can happen is I'll fail and I'll go back to working for someone. So that's what really motivated me, and I guess has also motivated me to make our company different and a place where people would enjoy working.
Now, I know a little bit about, you mentioned culture, and I do know a little bit about the culture that you have at GAFCON, and it was explained to me as the tribal culture. Can you weigh in on that and tell me a little bit about where that came from and how you then take that into your organization to get your entire team on board with this culture?
Yeah. So, it makes me think of a saying that I've always related to. The famous management consultant Peter Drucker said, culture eats strategy for breakfast every single day. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's always resonated in terms of a company, right? You can have a lot of policies and strategies and tactics, but if the culture's not there, it just doesn't work. So, when I started the company, it was only me, and I didn't know anything about culture. It was just me, right? I was doing what I thought the right thing to do is, and we started getting more work and started hiring people. And as I think back, I don't think I had that much of a focus on culture, but it was just an intuitive feeling of how to get things done and how to relate to clients and how to satisfy clients' needs that kind of evolved over time. As I told you, my wife and I were born in South Africa, and South Africa has a very, very strong roots in tribal culture. We collect tribal art, and we've always felt very connected to that aspect of our upbringing and, our home where we were originally born. And, to me, it's really the foundation that we've built on for our people related to the collective values and the goals that we possess. So what happened about 8 years ago, as we were growing, and it got to the point where the company had, I couldn't really be everywhere at every moment. So we decided to embark on a journey to try and figure out what is the GAFCON culture, right? How do we embody it, and how do we speak about it, and how do we distill it? So
I'm going to jump in on that really quickly. I want to jump in on that point really quickly, Gaff. I hate to interrupt, but as I have a thought, I just want to know, at that point in time, was there something with the culture that you knew that you needed to shift to have a new culture become? It sounds like there might have been a challenge and you needed to get somewhere else.
Well, the challenge was that the lines of communication were just getting too extended, and the ability to communicate that culture platform became more and more challenging. And we started becoming almost siloed in certain areas. Certain people didn't get it. So we said, how do we develop this culture platform that really becomes part of who we are and a communication strategy device for us to get that out there? And that's where this whole idea of our tribal code emerged from. And to me, the tribal code is really the foundation for our purpose to exist as a company. And it's very unique. I think what we found was that our tribal code is almost like our DNA. Mm. And it's something as a company that we inherited, we grew, and it became part of who we were and part of our success. So it was important that we didn't change, that we didn't dilute it, but that we could also communicate it to other people as we grew.
And I guess the next question is, because I think that in business, oftentimes companies lack that core foundation of a thriving culture, because culture can go two different ways, right? When you have a thriving culture, the mechanics behind being able to spread that like wildfire throughout the entire company, because that's really what you've got to do, right? There's got to be things in place to be able to make that message that you stand so firmly in your foundation and push that forward to the rest of the company. And from a mechanic standpoint, how do you do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So that was a challenge we faced, right, as you put it. And the mechanics of it were, we went out to talk to many people who really specialize at this whole brand development and culture development in companies, right? We all know great companies, and there are a few that I have a huge amount of respect for, whether it's Patagonia or REI or Apple. These are companies that have incredible culture, right? Anyone who works there, you sense it. You know, Gensler is one of the firms in our sphere of influence that I have a huge amount of respect for. So we went out to try and find the right person, company, to help us navigate this, because it wasn't anything we'd ever done. And we interviewed, 10, 12 companies. Some had worked for Apple or Patagonia or these companies. And, ultimately, which was pretty strange, is we found out that Gensler actually have a branding group that really had a lot of resonance with our leadership team in terms of what they do and how they did it in the industry, and that's who we picked. But they kind of helped us as an advisor to kind of work through workshops, retreats, to really try and understand what was special about GAFCON. Because everyone said, this company is pretty unique. Many people leave our company. We call them boomerangs, and then they come back after a few years.
Mm-hmm. That's what happens when you have a thriving culture.
Yeah. So I think sometimes you don't realize what you have until it's gone. What's the old song? So that was what we were trying to do, because we couldn't put our finger on it. And we went through probably a 6 to 9 month process to really extract that. And what we ended up with was a definition of our purpose that I'm really happy with, because even after 8 years, it's still relevant. And we also developed our tribal code that is as relevant as ever, and I truly believe will sustain for decades to come, because we're just going through a next evolution of the company, and we've reevaluated it, and everyone said, we think it's great. It's still very relevant, which I think does point to it having been well done.
Well, I think one thing that is really special about the company that you have created is that you do take culture so seriously, and you know that that has to be the foundation that you stand on. You mentioned a little bit about leaders, and in terms of leadership, what do you think makes a great leader?
Alignment with the culture, right? I think ultimately. So, you know, right now we're actually going through a restructuring of the company, because we've realized it's also getting bigger than it can handle our existing structure. And we really went out to look for the leaders, and we've set them up as business line leaders. And to me, GAFCON's essentially always been a very entrepreneurial company, a company that takes initiative, a company that isn't too bound by rules and regulations, but will do the right thing based on the situation. And, you know, a company that's really focused on our clients, right? Because our purpose is to help owners deliver complex projects that power vibrant communities. So it's really about getting into the head, you know, first of all, being aligned with a client, because we've had some terrible clients that we fired. We just realized there's no way we're going to be able to get along. But, you know, clients bring us aboard to solve their problems. So it's that creative problem solving, entrepreneurship, looking for solutions that may not always be totally visible. To me, that's what a leader is in our company.
So on the flip side of that, what do you think is one of the most dangerous traits of a leader?
Ego, I guess, not being open to new ideas, and also being defensive of someone who may have better ideas than you and feeling that they may be diminishing, or they may diminish your own stature. I think, to me, that's probably the biggest flaw that could be there.
Yeah, it's always the whole, you know, check your ego at the door thing, I think, is relevant in any business place that needs to be highly successful. None of us can be running around here with egos and thinking that our way is the right way to do everything. I know that we're short on time because of, you know, our technical. Did you have something else that you wanted to add?
No, I was just going to say that our industry that we work in is particularly challenging because of the amount of people you have and issues and disciplines that have to be brought together to get a project built, right? So
Right. If
you think your way is the only way, you're really not going to build a team, and you're not going to be able to succeed at the making a cohesive delivery of what you're trying to get accomplished. So I think it's extremely, I mean, if you're an author, maybe you can just do it your own way, but not in our business. There's too many people involved. And if you don't build teams and aren't empathetic to other people and don't listen, I don't think it can ever work.
Well, I think in that, just by itself, it's a disservice to the client, right? Because that's all of our jobs in this whole purpose of what we do, is to serve our clients well. And if we have the mentality of that only you can only do things the way that I do things, then it's a disservice to the client, which is the end result, right? Because my way, when it might not even be the best way, giving somebody else a chance to have that thought. Go ahead.
No, I totally agree. Totally agree. And, you know, I think we're all unique individuals with different strengths and weaknesses. And I think a good leader, just to add to it, is someone who can understand both of those sides and supplement the weaknesses, but really leverage the strengths, right? Whether it's as a person or as a company. And to me, that's where one and one becomes five. Mm-hmm. And it's very much what we strive to try and accomplish in all the work we do. We feel that, you know, one of the big cornerstones of where what we feel is important is to not only have financial goals in terms of making money or making a profit, but it's really about making a difference and doing projects that we can all be proud of, and that, you know, with everything we're facing in the world, you know, I think without that viewpoint, we're not going to survive that much longer. My kids and grandkids are not going to have the same quality of life as I did.
That's right. Gaff, you've mentioned making a difference a couple of times. Where does that fire come from?
I'm not sure. I think maybe, I'm not quite sure. Maybe, you know, maybe it's just where I came from, right? My parents were refugees fleeing discrimination in Eastern Europe. They managed to get to South Africa. My father died when I was very young. I always felt poor, but I always was dependent on others, and always felt that you know, that we should help each other, and helping each other to me means making a difference, right? So whether you look at it on a small scale or a big scale, I think it's very relevant to everything we do. And maybe it's just my heritage, my history, and my life experience. I'm not sure. I don't know.
It's just who you are, and I admire that.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for spending time with me. I appreciate your wisdom and everything that you had to share about leadership and kind of where GAFCON came from, and the little bit of a journey. I'm sure it's a much more journey than what you got to share, but I certainly appreciate it. And it's really an honor and a privilege to have some of your time. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I hope to meet you in person someday.
Definitely. Hopefully we'll be back to normal soon and be able to meet and share some food and just get to know each other better. I'd look forward to that.
Would love to. Let me know when you're back down in Southern California.
I'll do that.
Thanks, Gaff.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too. Take care.